Our scripture for this morning is from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 4, verses 14 to 21.
Jesus, filled with the power of the Spirit, returned to Galilee, and a report about him spread through all the surrounding country. He began to teach in their synagogues and was praised by everyone. When he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, he went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day, as was his custom. He stood up to read, and the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was given to him. He unrolled the scroll and found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." And he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. The eyes of all in the synagogue were fixed on him. Then he began to say to them, "Today the scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." Holy wisdom, holy word. Thanks be to God.
Let us pray together. O holy God, may the meditations of all our hearts, may the words of my mouth be acceptable in thy sight. Amen. So another week, beloved, so much going on and so much moving strife. This week, for many of us, started with observation of Martin Luther King Day. And for me, one of my practices, a cherished tradition, is to take some time with MLK speeches. And so Monday we were off school, and while I was cooking, I was just steeping in Beyond Vietnam speech and just the amazing intersections that King was making way back in 1967. Connecting the different oppressions and calling us to action. And then I started really going into the Memphis before King was killed, the speech as part of the sanitation workers' struggle, as we start to get the sense that he really knows the days are coming and his time is numbered. And we know now, of course, the magnitude of the threats he was receiving. But for us with this scripture this week, I was particularly listening in to those incredible words that many of us, we've listened to again and again, but when he was talking about that he might not get there with us, but he knew that they would, that we would. And of course, it's a careful business these days to really honor and try to understand those words today as we're in such struggle. But the part that we're going to be looking at a little bit quickly here this morning is some of the ways that that phrase holds hope. It holds a confidence and an assurance, a promise. He said that he might not get there, but he knew the struggle, where it was going, and that it would, and the depth of the faith in those words. It's part of what we're looking at today, because we have some very interesting, amazing material from the Gospel of Luke that gets us thinking about prophets. It gets us thinking about what happens when a ministry begins and is ushered into mission mode. That's what's happening here in the fourth chapter of Luke. This is what we say is really the beginning of Jesus's mission coming through Galilee. So I want to note together a few of the very curious things. Our section, as Rich read, goes verses 14 to 21, and it's sort of the lectionary designers letting us hover over this embodiment that happens in that passage, that Jesus, as a young one, back in his home synagogue in Nazareth, would step up and read this Isaiah passage and then begin to say that it is fulfilled. You know, the power of that. When we hover over that, today we get to really think about that. What is that move that when a prophecy is beginning to be embodied? But it's also the hold on to our hats version, because next week, as this very passage continues, starting with verse 21, if any of you have your Bible in reach, take a look. This is not going to be the hometown crowd as we see them today, just starting to probably burst with pride. They're so ready to kind of own and have their moment with their hometown son, who is being known out in the lands as doing ministry and healing. And so here he's back to us. And in this passage, those in the synagogue were told their eyes are just starting to almost bug out, that here is this young one speaking in such a powerful way and in such a powerful message. But they, you know, they might be like a hometown crowd of one of our favorite sports heroes, and they're expecting, okay, he's back, he's gonna start with us, he's gonna give us the goods, and we're gonna get some improvements at the school and down at the clinic, and we're going to get this name on everything. She's going to have sort of the investment channel coming right here at home. And instead, what's about to happen is this hometown, now famous hero, is going to say, actually, heading to Capernaum, and their school and their clinic and their kids are going to be the beneficiaries. I'm leaving this town. So look closely, dear friends, where this passage is going is quite startling. But we are given this piece perhaps to really hover over this beginning of Jesus's mission and ministry. And what's coming is hard to comprehend, but it has everything to do with Jesus saying, you know, the Spirit is here, anointing, another tricky word that we have to work carefully with these days, but for Jesus, starting to embody God's hope is he's going out so that he can do this healing in Capernaum and he can start changing lives. And so, no, this hometown is not going to be able to hold him, because the Spirit is upon him so that he can be good news to the poor, that he can help release the captives. And so our question begins to emerge. What is that asking of us? How is church to be the servant to release captives and be good news to the poor? So as our week was going along, some have thrown around this word, prophet. Another wonderful encounter this week for me was with Greta Thunberg. I was looking, you know, our book study, we had the best blessing of the world this winter at Keystone. We had about 10 books that we wanted to do together. And one of them that we're not doing now, but we might in the future, is a small book, Cathedral on Fire. And one of our UCC national ministers, Reverend Brent Burnt from the environmental justice wing of the UCC, he's writing about what he has noticed. One time in Davos, he said, it really clicked for me why this young, fiery spirit, why Greta Thunberg has become a prophet in the climate fight for many. And he says, you know, she truly believes that if the information were to get through to all of us, that we would change our lives and act differently and bring about an urgency of action and change, that she truly embodies the hope that humans on Earth, if they knew the science and all of the reasons of what this collapse is going on, that then the urgency would follow. So in that sense, I just lift her up this week in that she is someone who is truly believing that, not in that same way as King, that we can get there, but that she has that hope that a human who learns the tragedy is then compelled to be part of the healing. So I was thinking about that little book, Cathedral on Fire, if you want a peek at that one as well. But it's going to be an interesting ride for us from this section of the Gospel of Luke into next week's section. And my sort of third amazing encounter this week with one of our great teachers happened to be another author in our roundup of book studies, and that was just recognizing the passing of Thich Nhat Hanh this week. And many of you have absorbed his teachings as a Vietnamese monk who was in exile after literally being run out of his hometown, that his voice was so strong in the breakdown of Vietnam, calling for peace, and eventually more and more calling for a nonviolent way through the war. Exiled, spent most of his teaching around the world, based in France. But in these last few years, he returned to Vietnam, back to the monastery where he grew up. And again, as a young prophet, as a teen, began teaching those there and beyond and reached so many of us. But he stood out to me this week because this is not one of our teachers who lets the fire rip. We need this often, we do. But for Thich Nhat Hanh, you'd never describe him as a finger wagging prophet of old in that kind of imagery, because part of what he has given us is that sense that if we are embodying the spirit of God is upon us, if it's anointed in us, we are embodying that loving way such that the person we may be in conflict with, the country, the issue, we don't want that suffering to continue. Or if we can listen so deeply and compassionately, we ourselves become transformed and more present and into the ability to listen and hear, and then transformation might just unfold. And so I've been thinking about Thich Nhat Hanh also this week, as we are absorbing this text that carries us the mighty words of Isaiah as Jesus, young in his home synagogue where he had grown up worshiping, he is now the reader and he sits down and he begins to preach in that setting. And part of what I hope that we can take away today and just hold this week as we get ready for next week is how that Spirit of God taking root in us can then allow us to be vessels of God's love so that those poor might receive in spirit, that those downtrodden, that we might be able to be embodying the good news to those. So I will say that just to entice your reading this week, you may soon hear Jesus's hometown crowd not celebrating and lifting him up, but they want to lift him up over a cliff. They want to throw him. If he's headed to Capernaum, he's left them in the dust. And there's a lot to cover in the week ahead, but today we get to linger with this sense that what does that mean for us, church, if the Spirit comes upon us so that we can be the good news. Amen.